Did you hear what I said? All people are breaking curses, who are digging things up. Many of them are still doing things that that God has tied to curses. For example, disobedience to the word of God, to the express commandment of God, is like the sin of witchcraft. It still brings forth death, whether God talks again or it doesn't. Let me quickly talk about Jesus Christ, because one of the things, when I was praying, one of the things I said to the Lord is that one of the things I want to achieve is to raise Jesus Christ up again to where God wants him to be, so that people can look up to him and be healed. Do you understand my point? Anyone that focuses on him, do you understand, is the one that's healed. He says, as Moses raised up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So whoever believes, that is, who looks intently at him, will be healed, will be saved. That's how it is. And these days, we undermine and understate the importance of the power of the blood of Jesus. Listen, there's a story I told before many times, which is a very beautiful story to illustrate the power of the blood of Jesus. A man, Paul Ginodo, I saw him on TV a few months ago. He's still preaching, I think he's based in the UK now. Paul Ginodo was born a Muslim. He went to school. His mother sent him away from the rivalry in their polygamous home to go to school abroad. So he couldn't pray his prayer normally as a Muslim was supposed to. And according to him, when I read the story in his book, as a good Muslim, you must pray 5 times a day. You must pray that 5 times every day. And if you don't pray it that day, you pray it next day. You pray it next day. If you don't pray it for 1 year, you pray it the following year. So if you miss it for 1 year, the only way to make it up is to pray 10 times a day for 1 year. Or just stay in one spot and be praying until you finish counting. That was what he said. And the day he gave his life to Christ, it was because somebody invited him for a meeting. And he saw the miracle power of God demonstrated. A crippled man who he saw there got up and walked. The person happened to be sitting beside him. So there was no story. It was somebody he saw himself. Not that somebody went to the front and they don't know where the person came from. No, the person was with him. So he didn't think there was nothing wrong with being a Muslim. It's just that they told him that Jesus Christ forgives errors. So he calculated that 4 years, no prayer. Do you understand what I'm saying? He counted the amount of prayers he was owing. And when they said that Jesus Christ will forgive, he said, well, Jesus is easier to follow since he will not bother to count the prayers he had not prayed. So he just moved over to the other side. Are you getting my point? That was how he got his deliverance. You understand? Of course, later on, he began to learn the gospel and all of that. What I like his story is the prayer forgiveness. How he got forgiven of the prayers that he was supposed to pray that he did not pray. Listen, I said, what God has joined together, no man can put it asunder. Everything we've done in our lives, which really come out of thoughts, because God says, first of all, I test the heart. I check what is inside the heart before I even look at what the person is doing outside. So based upon that, everything we have done in life has a curse or has a blessing. Do you understand my point? Unfortunately, because the heart of man is exceedingly wicked, most of the things we have are curses. That's a matter of fact. Have you ever read it before that God promised us 70 years to live? You've heard that thing before? But I hope you know it's not true. Yes, I've heard powerful men of God quote it. I wonder how they read it. It was a lamentation of Moses. Moses lamented that the days of our years are only 70 years now. Even the ones that are strong amongst them, they make it to be 80. And if you look at it, it made sense because 20 years and above would die in the wilderness, right? So men were dying 50, 60, and all of that. And Moses wasn't used to it. The day Pharaoh saw Jacob, his mouth dropped. He said, sir, how old are you? The Egyptians did not used to live as long as the descendants of Abraham. So this one, that I'm looking at something. The reason why we celebrate 70, 80 years is simple. The whole world lies under a curse. That's what I'm saying. And we keep on tapping into it by the things that we do. For things to go wrong is natural because of the kind of works that men do. Now, this is what Jesus did. And always, I must emphasize it. Jesus literally died so as to wipe out every curse that we had bought with our hands, with our actions, with our thoughts. He did. Everyone who believes on him, your judgment that was due you was paid for on the cross. Are you getting what I'm saying? Every single one. Once you believe in the Lord Jesus, that one that you did before, do you get my point? Has been removed and it is now being put on Jesus. You know, I said, but I did them last year and Jesus was crucified 2,000 years ago. You must understand, the crucifixion of Jesus doesn't really have a time. The way God is saying it, he's constantly, essentially, all right, being crucified for you. You know why? Because that blood is being presented before the throne of God daily. The Bible says he has entered once and for all into that holy place with his blood. He never came out. Are you getting my point? He entered. So that is why he's constantly. So he did it last year. So what? He's still covered. The day you believe is the day your own part of the blood is activated. Are you getting my point? We must understand that. So that is what Jesus does for us. Okay, there's a second part of it which I don't have the liberty to talk about now. All right? Maybe another time we'll talk about that. All right? Now, but so bear that one in mind. Now, having done that, what we now do as Christians is what is called the works of faith. Now, remember that portion of the scriptures we read? Now, let me review something I said earlier. Every action, all right, has a blessing, a curse attached. Do you understand my point? Yeah, it does. That's how it is. But I need to clarify the fact that the ones we did before we believed, and again, the ones we did after we believed, but which we went to God in repentance and we confessed, they are also covered by the blood of Jesus. Are you getting my point? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, he's faithful and just to forgive us of those sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Forgiveness is not just, don't worry about it. Forgiveness is, I remove the consequences. That's what forgiveness is. I hope you understand my point there. All right, so those things are covered. But I want to bring out an issue here. Now, why are people often stagnated? This is the issue. I'm trying to see how to balance this so that I won't get people confused. I said earlier that there are things you do and God has already placed a word against it. We use Gehazi as an example. Now, we read that Psalm 34 just to emphasize something. That he said, come ye children, listen to me, and I will do what? I will teach you the fear of God. And he now began to list the blessings that are attached to the fear of God. Are you seeing that? Now, go back to the verse 9 in Psalm 34. Verse 11, sorry. He said, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of God. Now, he began to teach. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? This is what the person should do. He should keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. The person should depart from evil and do good. The person should seek peace and pursue it. He said, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. Verse 16 says, the face of the Lord is against evildoers. Now, David was saying all of these things to emphasize to us why we must learn the fear of God. And I'm saying to us Christians, this is where the problem often is. We don't learn the fear of God. Many of the things we do which are natural. First, let me emphasize that. When David said, come, ye children, listen to me, I will teach you the fear of God. That tells you something. The fear of God must be taught. Did you hear what I said? It never comes to you naturally. The fear of God must be taught. It never comes to anybody naturally. In fact, I'm already jumping ahead of myself. Number one reason I can say it these days why Christians are stagnated is because they are totally ignorant. They don't know what is right to do in the matters of righteousness. They don't know what is right to do in the matters of right precepts with which to live life. I'll develop that further. He said, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of God. Anything that we do naturally is most likely wrong. Did you hear what I said? I'll give a few examples. But let's start with the giving, you know, the habit of giving in life. Children is not something, they are not born with it. You have to teach them how to release, how to give things. Otherwise, they hold on to everything. That's just a basic example. All right? There's another one that's very common in Christianity. As people begin to grow, they learn the wrong things of life. They think anything they are going to get from God must be based on what they have already done for God. I'm sure at least half of the people here believe that. That God only does for you based on what you have done for him. I won't tell you to say amen if you believe it, but I can assure you of one thing, it's a lie. Did you hear what I said? Do you know, it is amazing. Till now, most Christians don't know that. I thought it was very basic. But this is the issue. They have never learned it. So they still go around life trying to do for God so that he might do back for them. And like I say all the time, unfortunately, that activates, listen to this, it does not activate a blessing, it activates a curse. It doesn't. It is called self-righteousness. Are you getting my point? It does not activate a blessing. It activates a curse. Once you go around life with a mentality that the only thing I get out of God is based upon what I have done for him first. You may think he's supposed to bring a blessing for you because you actually think you're doing something for him. But that mindset, that attitude towards life does not bless you at all. It energizes Satan in your life. You say what? Because he is an accuser of the brethren. And anytime we plead works, he always stands there to plead what we did not do. And I can assure you of one thing. Until you become 100 years old, the number of things you did not do will always be more than the number of things you did. Why did I choose 100 years? I don't know. I just assume that's how long it take you to learn to be able to do 51% right all the time. So, Pastor Banky, are you saying that you also do more than 50% wrong? I can assure you that Banky in the flesh does that. But Banky in the spirit, you can't count. I'm hidden under the power of the blood of Jesus. So anything I've done that did that's not correct is corrected. That's not my point. I will explain the principle for you. Let me just explain something to you. You might say, what are you talking about? How many people remember Job in the Bible? The Bible said that he was of all men most righteous. There was nobody like Job. So Job was upright in all his ways. Yet when God stood against Job in judgment, Job was hearing things he did not know they were sins. I don't know what you get my saying. When Job was saying, I've done everything right, God said, let me talk to you. He said, when I was making the earth, where were you? Where was I supposed to be? Then they said, write it down against him. Absenteeism during creation. Job was like, what are you talking about? He said, have you been able to arrange the stars and do this and that? Job was like, why would I be able to do that? Write it down. Inability to correct the constellations of the stars. You may say that, but why should a man know how to do that? I'll quickly drop something for you. Adam was supposed to be able to do it. He said, I've given you dominion. Do you understand what I mean? Adam had dominion. Adam would have been able to look at how the weather pattern was and say, this is not right. Henceforth, the rainy season should start 2 weeks later or 1 month later. And after a while, things will rearrange. Because the man had dominion. The fact that Job did not have dominion, the dominion only showed he was a sinner. Job did not have dominion, was a sign of iniquity. I read the story once. Then Kenneth Hagin was telling the story of Novahis. He went to Novahis's house. Listen to me, how God counts sin. If you want to be counting, I've done right, I've not done right. He went to the house of Novahis. And Novahis has one daughter. That's the only relative he has. His wife left him, just walked out of him one day. He didn't remarry, just has one daughter. They used to live together, this little child, or a big girl. And Novahis said, no, can I notice that the girl had warts on her hand, skin lesions? And he looked at it and said to the girl simply, I could curse those things and they would die. That I would speak against them and they would die. Do you know, if anything goes wrong with your children, God holds you responsible. Why are you giving offering? One day, one of my children injured his head in the house. I started crying. I don't know why. I just understood it was my fault and I was not there. I wasn't there. No, Kennedy said, he looked at, nobody said, Kennedy didn't look at his daughter's hands and said to the girl, because they're very good friends, he said, I could curse those things, they would die. And something struck me, he did not. He made the statement and ignored it and continued using his friend. After he left, he said the Holy Spirit grabbed Novahis and said, you are an irresponsible father. Why? Novahis said he did not even know until that day the girl had what on her hands. So he took it upon himself and said, these things you are going away. And he began to curse them. And the man is very good with that kind of thing. In fact, he said the Lord told him on how to heal cancer. That if any cancer patient will agree with him, they will sit down together and curse the cancer for weeks. It will run away. The man began to curse those things in the hand of the on that girl's hand until they ran. What am I going to explain? Job thought he was doing righteousness because he gave alms. He saw one woman. He carried the eye away. That's not my wife. God said, it is good. When they compared him with all the people on the earth, he was the most righteous. Oh God, there are deep things to say about the scriptures. I used to wonder why the God, you know, go and read your scriptures. Do you know it was not Satan that brought up the matter of Job? Go and read your Bible. It was God. Satan was just passing. God said, oh boy, come. Where are you coming from? He said, from walking up and down the surface of the earth. He said, in all your travels, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan said, I saw him once, and I decided he was not worthy of our troubles, because you have surrounded him with a hedge round about. You have blessed the works of his hand, so we realize it is not necessary to be wasting time with him. Let's go somewhere else. It was God that said, okay, come. Let's have an arrangement. Satan said, what kind of arrangement? That guy, you know, he's serving you for what you have done for him. He said, good, that's what I'm talking about. Let me remove those things. Let's see what will happen. There were a number of things that happened there. One, God put Job in there to teach us a lesson. One of the most powerful messages I ever heard in my life was when God sent a man of God to come and preach one of our conventions. And before the man began preaching, he mentioned my name. When I told my wife said, are you sure? I played the tape for her. I said, look at what he said. Pastor Banky, hear this. The man preached from the book of Job. My life changed. He said Job was placed in the scriptures to cure the backsliding of saints forever. That is, there is nothing any child of God will go through that he will be able to say, God, you have been unkind to me. All God will do is give you Job to read and say, have you suffered like Job? Are you getting the point? That God placed the book of Job there to cure the backsliding of saints forever. That there is nothing you want to say you went through. That God will say, read Job. That after this one happened to Job, what did he do? He still knelt down and he worshipped. So you, before you open your mouth to say that you have sowed the seed, after all the offerings I gave, God didn't give it back. God said, kneel down there, my friend, shut your mouth and begin to worship. That's very true. That's one thing. But the second thing that thing did, listen to this. This was the second thing that happened. Job had reached the peak of where human righteousness could take anybody to. And all the money he had, Aliko Dangote will spend 10% of his income and still richer than Job. I don't know what I heard I said. For all the things they said Job had, Otedola in Lagos will sell a few boats and he's richer than Job. That is just tell, but go and sell this one, outshine Job. What did Job get? Believe me, buy a decent 737 Boeing and Job is the pauper. Read your Bible now. All the noise I'm making, Job was very prosperous, very prosperous. A modern day man, say, what kind of paupers did they have those days? But for his time, it was great. Are you getting my point? It was great. But that tells you something. The righteousness of men at that time could not produce beyond that level of environmental prosperity. Listen, I found that I meditated about this for years. Over the last few weeks, God gave me understanding. Wealth is not any man's doing. It's a gift of God. The only thing you find on the earth is the distribution. That is what men labor for. Who will control it? But as for the creation of wealth, God just reigns it. Nobody creates wealth. Only God reigns it. All the righteousness of man, the best he could do was to make Job the richest man. Who will not... Job, if Forbes lists the richest man in the world today, Job will not make number 5,000. Not because Job was bad. He was a good businessman. But the amount of prosperity in the environment now is so great that the man who's number 5,000 worldwide is richer than Job. And as long as Job was the most righteous of the men, the earth could not prosper more than it did. So God said, what do we do? Let us go and teach them a new level of righteousness by removing confidence in that type of righteousness. So God released Satan on Job. It was not Satan. Satan thought it was a bad business. You know why I'm telling you that story? Because when the man was going around thinking he was righteous, there was a limit to the amount of products he could bring onto the earth. There was a limit to the amount of godliness he could bring into this life. There was a limit. Why? He was looking at a man like himself, and he knew he was better than them all. Then when God wanted to talk with Job, you know what God did? God brought a new standard of righteousness. As I'm talking about creation, started talking about redesigning the universe. Started talking about God as the height, that is the reference point for righteousness. Job, after that, he felt dirty. Do you get my point? Job realized that, oh boy, I have not done anything right. Are you getting my point? That's why I tell Christians, listen, if you want to go around thinking you have done anything right, you will never prosper far in life. All this one that you think that your key to prosperity is your first fruits, your tithes, your regular offerings, is the reason why you will not do well. I said it like that deliberately. You still think it's the reason you will prosper. You won't go far. You will get a job. Don't forget. Don't mind me. You will get a job. You will be the best paid of all the brethren amongst yourselves. And you see earning a salary that an unbeliever is paying. An unbeliever will sign the check and give it to you. And you will go home and worship the Lord for what an unbeliever gave you from his pocket change. Why? Because you're a good tither, first fruit man, a good offerings man. God said, why don't we just change the gear? Continue doing your good works. I have no objections. But take your eyes away from your good works as the platform upon which prosperity is coming. Please, remove your eyes. Lift up your eyes and fix your eyes on the cross of Jesus. And if you are persistently fixed upon that, I will make men like Aliko Dangote book appointments to talk to you. That's what we're talking about. I jumped a huge part of the message I wanted to preach. But I think the Holy Spirit wanted it like that. I wanted to build up before I got to this particular point, but I've jumped a huge chunk of it into talking about the different mindsets that people have. I was just giving this as an example. That every mindset you have attracts a blessing or has been tied to a curse. And the problem Christians have, this is their major problem, is that they don't know anything. And they are not trying to learn. Listen, God cannot change your situation until he changes your mind. He cannot change your state in life right now until he rearranges the way your mind works, your heart, your thought pattern, your thinking processes. He cannot. I didn't say he will not. He doesn't have that. He didn't put it into himself for this dispensation to do such things. He didn't. I said something the other day when I was preaching. I said, with God, 15 naira and $10 million, they are the same thing. Do you know that? They are exactly the same thing. What he's waiting for in the lives of his children is for them to love $10 million just as much as they love 15 naira. You know, most people don't love 15 naira. You know that? If they are 15 naira lost, you know, they won't bother to look for it. They wonder, what happened? Maybe I threw it away. And they keep going. They can actually hand it to somebody who is needy, who can handle it. Are you getting my point? You may say that, so what are you talking about? God said, look, by the time I build your spiritual capacity, your heart capacity to that level, anything you can do with 50 naira, you understand? That you can do maybe with $1 million, I will make $1 million as common to you as 50 naira is today. But you see, it's not just, oh Lord, do it. I lay hands on you. Right now, receive it. Oh, I fall down. Then I get up. I said, you see, I have received the ability to spend $1 million like 50 naira. It's a lie. You're in a hurry to get something you can't handle. What God does is to build you up gradually. I'm watching my time. What God does is to build you up gradually. You know what he said? Do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, Jesus healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cleansed the lepers, opened the blind eyes, crippled walked. But when he saw poor people, he said, come back for the seminar. That's what he said. He said, the blind see, the dead are raised, everything. He said, but the poor, they have the gospel preached to them. They need to hear it. They need to hear it. Listen, if a man lays hands on you suddenly, your life will only change for 24 hours. Did you hear what I said? Any anointing that you get in an instant by the laying of hands, it also disappears after a short instant. That is how it works. If you say you are in the midst of poverty now, that you go and a man prays for you, and then tomorrow you have a breakthrough. Maybe you needed 10,000 naira and 50,000 just came the next day. That is the last 50,000 that is coming. Did you hear what I said? When you finish spending it, that is the end of it. You go and look for the man, the anointing has finished. Oh, it's not a joke. The widow of Zarephath, when Elijah got to his house, that was the only house he could come to. All the other widows, forget, if you like, give your, you know, so, very common with us Pentecostals, one man of God will now come and say, I was in Lagos. One man gave his last money, and God gave him breakthrough. I went to Abuja. One man gave his last car, and they suddenly bought a ship. I went to Port Harcourt, and one man gave his head, then he had 17 heads. Listen. Did those things happen? 9 times out of 10, they did not happen. The man is lying. God, you know, I have to tell them the truth now so that they won't be the same. I've seen them lie. Do such things happen? Yes. Once in a while. Yes, they do. They do. Once in a while. But it's the last time. It happens to everybody only once. After God has done it for you once, it's the last one. He's the last one. He's always the last one. That's how he does it. It can happen to you once. So after that, but okay, forget it. God says, I know go and read the children of Israel. When they enter the wilderness, they chop manna. The moment they enter into the promised land, God said, I have given you cycles of life. There is seed time and harvest. If you do not sow at the proper time, the harvest time, you no go see food though. All this emergency manna from heaven. It's only for short crisis times. Nobody ever gets those. And listen, let me tell you something quickly. Let me just drop this one quickly. In case you want to follow the widow of Zarephath, follow her properly. You have a risk in your life if you are following the widow of Zarephath and you don't follow it properly. Please, go and read my book. I don't know why I still have copies remaining. Great faith can be yours. Please, in fact, good. Go and read that book. You say, I don't have money to buy it. Download it. It's free on the internet, on our website. The download is free. PDF. Click, boom, drops on your tab. It's free. So that you know that I'm not trying to sell book. But please, buy the book because you need to read. I wrote that whole book to explain to you why the widow of Zarephath did what she did. Because if you don't understand it, you'll be so gullible in this life. Every man of God that's looking for money will take you for a ride. And you still will not get anything. Just for emphasis, widow of Zarephath, why did she believe a stranger? No, think about it. I just enter your house. The food will not finish. Just give me the one you have right now. Let me eat it. If you believe me, either you're a complete idiot, or you have a revelation from God. It's one of the two. There's no middle of the way. A stranger shows up and says, please, can I have transport money to go here? He said, Oga, all the money I have now is just this 2,000 naira. And if I don't pay it, I won't write my exam tomorrow. He said, don't worry. You never seen me before. Thus is the Lord. Just give me that 2K. Go to the exam hall. Because your fees shall be paid and you shall pass the exam. If you hand it to me, it's one of two things. Either your head is totally not correct, or you know something other people don't know. And for the widow of Zarephath, that was what happened. But most importantly, let me just quickly drop. That's what I want to drop before I go on, all right? Most importantly for the widow of Zarephath, she was a habitual giver. She did not learn giving the day she saw Elijah. Most Christians learn giving the day the pastor shows up. Just in case you did not know, that's why you have not received anything. Only two groups of people get anything under those circumstances. Those who totally do not know anything, that is their first exposure to light, they obey, they will get something. Then those who they have been habitual as givers for a long time, and maybe that is the day that God just said, do one more thing and something will happen to you. Those are the only two people. All the other people who are looking for emergency breakthrough, who don't want to obey God as a habit, they won't get anything. You know what I was trying to explain when I went into that? That transformation is first a total renewal of your inside. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yes, it's a first total renewal of your inside before God can change your outside. Most Christians have not had their minds changed about anything in the last 8 years. They are wondering why their lives have not changed in 8 years. Listen, 6 years ago, you began to pray to God for a wife or a husband. 6 years after, he hasn't answered. I give you a challenge. Go and ask yourself, has anything changed in my thought processes in 6 years? If it hasn't, I have just given you the reason why you have not received an answer. God is saying to you simply, I don't like your mindset. That's all he has said simply. I don't like your mindset. And until you change it, I cannot do anything new that I have not been able to do in 6 years. Why did 6 years pass? I was giving you these 6 years to change the way you reason. Listen. Please, I'm watching my time, so I'm trying to make a point so we can close. Christians are stagnated because they don't increase in their knowledge of God. Let me tell you something. Your life will never change until your inside changes. And your inside will not change until you are exposed to a different set of factors. Until you are exposed to a different set of factors compared to what you have been exposed to for a long time. I said something the other day. One brother sent me an email later. I said, that word was prophetic. I said, you have gone to the same church for 8 years. You have listened to the same pastor. And he says, don't listen to anybody else apart from me. And your life is still on one spot. If you are still going there, you are a glutton for punishment. You are begging for stagnation. A man says, listen to me alone. I'm the only man of God. You have listened to him alone for 8 years. For 8 years, nothing significant has changed around you. And you are still insisting that this is the only man of God. I'll still listen to him. You should know that you love punishment. And let me tell you where your punishment will end. In fact, it will not end. It will not end. It will not end. It will only end, listen to me, when something new is flowing into your heart, thereby causing your heart to start changing. Listen, I said something earlier, that God has released words, tied things together. Many of the thought patterns we have in this life have been tied to poverty. They have been tied to mediocrity. They have been tied to I will not make progress. Oh, I don't want to start. I'm watching my time very closely. I don't want to start someone. Let's take about money as an example. There's one I see all the time, all right? Just interesting about money. Anybody who looks, listen to what I'm going to say now. I want to say this one because it applies many ways. Please, don't mind me. I have many things I want to say. So, I'm having an issue trying to keep them to queue up. And I'm watching my time at the same time, you know? But let me just drop this one. It will help us. It will enlighten us a bit and then we'll go. This is how you know people are not planning to prosper much. They will get a good job. It will be okay, but they won't do a lot of prosperity. They will sit down with their friends, put a chair down, and take somebody like Bishop David Oyedepo, all right? And tear him to shreds. Why? Because he charges ₦500,000 a year for university students. And they make statements like, what is he doing with the money? These rich people, they even have no mercy on the poor. At the end of the day, use the money to buy private jet. It'd be flying up and down. And let me just tell you something, because I don't have time to develop it. For every minute you spend saying that, one extra day has been added to your poverty. Don't feel too bad. You know, because I told you earlier, if you confess your sins, Jesus will wipe away the punishment. Did I not say so? So don't feel too bad. I can say that with confidence. And for those who, they won't change their mind. 1 week for every minute. No, I'm not a prophet of doom. I'm a teacher of truth. I'm just telling you what is true. Do you know why? One, the Bible makes it clear, you must never talk about what you don't know about. I don't have time to look through what James said about that. James said in such a manner that even frightened me. That do you know that Michael, the archangel, could not rail accusations against Satan? The only thing he could say is the Lord rebuke you. The Satan that me and you want to chew, want to say, you know, go better for you. You know, that Michael looked and gave the guy some respect. I don't know whether you get my point. Yet, we will sit down here. You take a man who's older than you in age, has been preaching longer than you have been breathing, has transformed lives here and there, has changed people's environments and societies and their mindset, has preached faith to an extent that many people will never even know exists in life. And you are not even afraid. Even if he did wrong, it is beyond your mouth to say it. Think we are talking about TB Joshua here. We are talking real men of God. Please, I'm not. Look, those of you know me well, you know I don't go to Winner's Chapel. So it's not, I'm not defending my bishop. Do you get my point? I'm defending truth. Just to drop it, if Bishop Oyedepo charges ₦500,000 a year for tuition fees in Covenant University, it's because somebody else is paying the balance. I'm a university lecturer that money can't cover. Oh, here, I'm not kidding about it. That money cannot cover. One day that I did analysis amongst my brethren, of how much it takes to pay the lecturers alone. If the school has to pay for College of Medicine students, each student has to pay $1.2 million a year. And that does not cover the hall. It does not cover the bursar's fees. It does not cover the library. It does not cover anything, just the money to pay the lecturers. I did a breakdown on what they need for accreditation. I did a breakdown on the number of lecturers, what the lecturers earn, and I came to a simple arithmetic. It costs 1.2 million naira a year in College of Medicine to pay lecturers alone. It does not cost include the cost of the building. It does not include the cost of cutting the grass, or children eating, or feeding, or drinking water. It doesn't. Just to pay the lecturers that come and teach, if they only use their salary, their fees, each of them will have to pay 1.2 million a year. I could talk about that because that's my field. One of my friends, he's a professor of law in the United States. Emeka said, when he heard us talk, he said, finally, one of our brothers wrote an article first. He said, finally, I'm hearing insight that is so rare that discussion on this subject is impossible. He's a professor of law. He said, when most people talk, they talk so empty, he can't answer. So when one of our brothers now wrote something, before I wrote what I wanted to say, he said, gosh, so some people actually know what is going on. Just by the way, he invited one man to come and speak to his students. They said the man doesn't charge fees, though. It's free. He's a big man. But to fuel his jet to come, $200,000. The guy, he canceled the invitation. Said, thank you. Don't come again. Don't come again. Yet you see small, small boys all over the place. They sit down and be eating bad suya. This man of God, they don't want people to prosper. After God, I lifted them up. Talking nonsense. And they are wondering why they are going for interviews and nobody's employing them. Every time they see a man prosper beyond them, they are angry. And they think they are righteous. They don't realize that everything. You know, he said, honor your father and your mother that may be well with you, that you may live long in the land which the Lord thy God has given to you. Listen, that honor your father and your mother has some extra ramifications. So you don't look like spiritual, you don't look at spiritual fathers and mother and be cursing them every day, and you want it to be well with you. You smoke something, he can't be well with you. What am I going to explain? That's why David said, come you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Why? Because many of the things you are doing are the reasons why God can't bless you, even though he wants to. Hey. Sometimes I see men and women, in fact, yeah, maybe women. When you see young girls talk about husband, I say one of two things. Either you won't find one, or if you find it, you will never be happy with this mindset. That is, you just hear them talk. I say, listen, a husband is not a boyfriend. You know, there's a world of difference. Boyfriend, husband are two different things. Classmates and husband, two different things. Brother in church and husband, two different things. My senior brother at home and husband, two different things. In fact, the only thing that's like husband is husband. You need a special skill. So Paul wrote to Titus, said, let the older women teach the young ones how to do this thing. Because experience, eh? What I'm trying to say is that, listen, if your heart is wrongly arranged, if it's wrongly arranged, it's repelling blessings. That's what I'm trying to say. And the only way, now let me say this and I close with it. The only way you can arrange it properly, that's actually the main meat. The only way you can arrange it properly, David said, how can a young man, it applies to a young man too, keep his way pure? He said, it's only by keeping it according to your word. Listen, again, I recommend that you read my book, How to Walk for God. I am begging you to read it. I so want you to read it that right now I made up my mind. Felix, 200 naira. I don't care. Please. That is the look. He said, I bought yesterday. He go and buy another one. So that he said, yeah, how much are you selling before? It's normally 500, right? You discounted yesterday at 25%. Today, please, 200. I want you to read it.